Dear people who keep company with God, one of the most powerful spirits that we have to stand against is the spirit of religion. In fact, it is so powerful that Paul connects religion with witchcraft. Galatians 3:1-3. Ho, you foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? We think of witchcraft as a demonically infested sin, and it is most certainly that. However, it is important to note that witchcraft begins not as a sin of the spirit, but as a sin of the flesh, and religion is very appealing to our flesh. A religious spirit is the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Matthew 16:6, of which the Lord warned his disciples to beware. When a religious spirit is influencing us, we replace religious activity with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In fact, the religious spirit is Satan's answer for the Holy Spirit. The religious spirit so closely mimics the Holy Spirit that many sincere believers think that the Holy Spirit is leading them, when in fact it is really a religious spirit. Religion allows us to stay in control, therefore it feels safe to our flesh because it tells us what to do externally. And when we do it, our conscience is deceived by feelings of doing right. This replaces the inner peace of the Holy Spirit that comes from being in right relationship with the Lord. We become focused on doing instead of being led by the Spirit. Doing replaces our relationship with God. We no longer are abiding in Christ, nor can we walk in love. The ultimate goal of the religious spirit is to cut us off from a real and vital relationship with the Lord Himself. Religion allures us with the false promise that we can be spiritual, but in the end, it leaves you tired and burned out. Anytime I start giving in to the temptation of being in control and playing it safe, it is not long before my spiritual life and ministry start feeling stagnant, lifeless, and burdensome. I am deceived into thinking that the things of the Spirit are heavy and intense, and I start acting and ministering from heaviness instead of the heavenly. I stop serving the Lord with gladness. Deuteronomy 28:47. One of the ways we overcome the religious spirit is to make our flesh our slaves, 1 Corinthians 9:27, and that includes our minds. It has been said that the mind is a great servant, but a terrible master. If we allow our minds to rule us, a religious spirit will influence us. From the Message Bible, Matthew 11:28-30, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Another way to overcome the religious spirit is to have ongoing times of getting away with Jesus in our hearts. This is a time when our minds are washed and renewed. We freshly receive His perspective on life, and the result is walking with Him in life and working with Him in ministry freely and lightly. Following, I have copied the 25 Warning Signs of a Religious Spirit by Rick Joyner. I encourage you to think about it and take an honest look at this list to see if there may be areas of your life that are being influenced by a religious spirit. 25 Warning Signs of the Religious Spirit by Rick Joyner. 1. We'll often see as his primary mission the tearing down of what he believes is wrong. 2. We'll be unable to take a rebuke, especially from those he may judge to be less spiritual than himself. 3. We'll have a philosophy that will not listen to men, but only to God. 4. We'll be inclined to see more of what is wrong with other people, other churches, and so on, than what is right with them. 5. Will be subject to an overwhelming guilt that he can never measure up to the Lord's standards. 6. Will keep score on his spiritual life. 7. Will believe that he has been appointed to fix everyone else. 8. Will have a leadership style which is bossy, overbearing, and intolerant of the weaknesses or failures of others. 9. Will have a sense that he or she is closer to God than other people, or that his life or ministry is more pleasing to God. 10. Will take pride in his spiritual maturity and discipline, especially as it compares to others. 11. Will have the belief that he or she is on the cutting edge of what God is doing. 12. Will have a mechanical prayer life. 13. Will do things in order to be noticed by men. 14. Will be overly repulsed by emotionalism. 15. Will use emotionalism as a substitute for the work of the Holy Spirit. 16. Will be encouraged when his ministry looks better than others. 17. Will glory more in what God has done in the past than in what he is doing in the present. 18. Will have the tendency to be suspicious of or to oppose new movements, churches, and so on. 19. Will have the tendency to reject spiritual manifestations that he or she does not understand. 20. Will overreact to carnality in the church. 21. Will overreact to immaturity in the church. 22. Will be overly prone to base evidence of God's approval on manifestations. 23. Will be unable to join anything that he does not deem as being perfect or near perfect. 24. Will be overly paranoid of the religious spirit and quick to recognize it in others, but not in himself. And 25, will have the tendency to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus, what he has accomplished and who he is. Many blessings. Byron Wicker.